Well, a social housing project in Hamilton's suburb of Enderley has faltered, with the Māori housing provider behind it looking to sell the land it was planning to develop. The original plan had been to build 62 units on the land at Shakespeare Avenue. A handful of homes have been completed, but Te Runanga o Kirikiri Roa, the group behind the project, says it was far larger and more complex than they had initially thought. The land will now be sold. Te Runanga has asked the council to ensure whomever buys the land must build affordable homes on it. While this is just one project, a large provider, the Salvation Army, told 9 to Noon it is extremely difficult to get its social housing developments off the ground. The cost and length of time that it takes to get projects consented and built makes it extremely challenging for smaller NGOs. Well, the Minister has announced a new Ministry of Housing and Urban Development. Will that help expedite affordable housing developments? To discuss, we welcome Ella Henry, who is an academic at AUT. I'm just going to get Ella's exact title correct here. She's Senior Lecturer in Māori Studies, Sociology and Management Studies at AUT. She's also one of the researchers in the National Science Challenge, Building Better Homes, Towns and Cities. Ella, good morning.
Kia ora, good morning, Catherine.
Good morning. Ro Hoskins is chair of the National Māori Housing Organisation, Te Mata Pihi. He's also an Auckland-based architect working with Māori community-based design projects. Welcome back, Ro. Ngā mihi.
Kia ora.
We should say we invited a spokesperson for Te Runanga o Kirikiri Roa to come on the programme this morning to explain what they've been through. They were unavailable this morning, I think. We spoke particularly to a spokesperson for the chief executive. That invitation remains open at any time. But theirs is part of a much bigger story that is important to discuss. Ella, I think you've had a look at what's happened here and you've described it as a tragedy. What have been the barriers that have got in the way?
Kia ora, Catherine. Well, certainly what we've found doing the research around the country is that whilst this new government may have the best intentions, they have inherited a legacy of bureaucracy around consents and costs around consents that make it almost impossible for social housing agents to expedite plans in a you know, sustainable way to build affordable housing. Because the reality is the New Zealand construction industry is not geared for affordable housing, and in fact the real estate market is not geared for affordable housing. So we really have to get government at the local and national levels to work more proactively, particularly in this case, because it involves an iwi. And I think it's such a tragedy, and I feel so much aroha for the tribal group down in Hamilton who went into this project with the absolute best intentions. And really, I mean, the previous government should have given them far more support around consent, around planning and project managing, to go from, you know, a project where they'd successfully built 14 units to one where they were going to quadruple that without any other support from council, I think it is an absolute tragedy, and it reflects badly on the last government.
As you say, there are any number of challenges for commercial developers when you're looking at NGOs taking this on, and particularly community housing, because is this a case where they're not only dealing with contractors and builders and subcontractors, but government departments and agencies as well? Is there even more of a layer of complexity around these sorts of projects?
Absolutely, and they also try to incorporate a program that would have helped train their own people in buildings, trades and crafts. And again, that, you know, that was a sunk cost, so it added to what was already a very altruistic venture, but one that required a lot more project management skills.
How can that be built in? And what sort of support could a government or its agencies give providers like Te Runanga o Kirikiri Roa? Is it a matter even of coordination? Because we're hearing, and we'll hear a bit more from Roa in a moment, and we certainly heard from the Salvation Army, one delay or two delays involving this subcontractor or this approval coming through from this agency, it all costs, and the smaller providers may not have the capital to hold on through those processes.
I agree, and you know, there was once a time with this country, the government of this country was able to build literally thousands of houses in a year. So there's a lot of, you know, historical memory, I'm sure, in a number of government agencies about how to facilitate this process. So I'd love to see if we are going to get social housing agencies involved in this, why are we not helping them to be mentored by people within government who have that memory of the kinds of processes and structures required for big builds? And the reality is, most of the people involved, or most of the companies involved in big builds, are in it for the maximum amount of profit, not for social good reasons. So how do we transfer their project management skills to the small NGOs and tribes that are trying to deliver affordable housing to their communities? That, I think, is a challenge that has to actually be managed from the top down. It has to be a governmental commitment. It's not a matter of just throwing money at the problem. It's about finding the right kind of human and physical resources to support these agencies.
Again, as Salvation Army is telling us, budgets tend to be 10 to 12% more than expected. I would have thought that's quite conservative, really, and trying to hold costs, or as we said, have cash flow over costs. Is this again at risk of being a step beyond many smaller organisations?
Well, I'm personally also of the view that New Zealand pays a great deal for many of its building products. So not only do we have high compliance costs around consent forms and huge costs around infrastructure over which the small developer has little control. You know, you can't control how much you're paying for a sewage pipe. You've got to pay what the market demands. So there may be cause for some kind of government oversight around, you know, I mean, they put a lot of energy into trying to find out why New Zealanders are paying more for petrol. Well, I'd like to see some attention given to why New Zealanders are paying so much for building products.
Is there an opportunity for procurement? I'm interested now in the work that you're doing as part of the science challenge. I'm not sure how much it focuses on these micro or smaller projects, but could there be an argument for some kind of centralised procurement or other centralised information provision, skill provision for some of these developments?
I could not agree more. In fact, we're looking certainly in the Auckland projects around social procurement. The council, Auckland Council, has made a commitment to social procurement, but I think there needs to be more help from the highest levels of government around, you know, using local tradespeople, developing local skills, and tying that all into a cohesive procurement strategy, in the same way that, in many ways, that we once had a central procurement agency for government. It was called the Ministry of Works or the Ministry of that, and that was all kind of devolved to the private world with the assumption that the market would do it better, and here we are 35 years later and we've figured out the market isn't actually doing it better, and we are now having to relearn all of these skills that were once actually held within government ministries.
What is the undeveloped resource as well? It was very interesting just on Friday talking to Ngāpuhi's Runanga Housing Coordinator Kara George on what they are experiencing, which is a lot of people coming back to papakāinga land or back to land, and again, there not being housing for them. And again, people having to look at taking on projects that may be a step beyond where their capital is or where their expertise is. So again, as part of the science challenge, are you seeing more and more instances where really important developments could happen but for a lack of capacity or a lack of support?
Absolutely, and certainly I know this is an area of Hoskins' expertise more than mine around papakāinga housing and development, but in terms of infrastructure, we have still to see a facilitated process to allow whānau mortgages or intergenerational mortgages that would allow, you know, communities and whānau and hapū to aggregate their capital and also to introduce sweat equity programs. I mean, the reality is that we have finally acknowledged we have a housing crisis, we have an affordability crisis, we also have higher numbers of Māori in unemployed states and living in parlous situations. So the trick is, how do we upskill those who are currently unemployed, and I applaud the work that's being done by Shane Jones in this area around regional development. How do we upskill people so that they can go back home and contribute to Papakāinga housing development? And how do we facilitate access to the kind of capital that's required not only for the build but also the infrastructure? Because I'm in the north, I'm calling you from Kaitaia, we're talking to it now. I've been at Ahui in Kaitaia, and honestly, the infrastructure lacks up here are appalling. There are parts of this country that don't have access to sewage, electricity, telephone, let alone the Wi-Fi that we take for granted in the city. So there's a huge, and I do understand that this government has made a strong commitment to it, but you know, we are all, I think, need to be working better together to look at solutions.
Well, you criticised the previous government. What have you seen from the incoming government beyond what it's talking about? Are you seeing movement, actual movement, on the sorts of things you're talking about? What kind of a response? I think you had a significant hui back in April as well. What kind of response are you getting to get movement on things?
Well, I can talk primarily from a Māori perspective there, where certainly, you know, the ministers involved with the Regional Development Fund, with the governance and whenua funding from the Ministry of Māori Development, and of course Calvin's work around iwi Māori relations, I think that's starting to bear fruit. But they were starting from ground zero, so there has had to be consultation. You know, we're about 9 months in. I'm quietly optimistic that the rhetoric is being turned into policy, and it's once it gets to that level that we have something to engage with from the community.
Thank you, Dr. Ella Henry, Senior Lecturer in Māori Studies, Sociology and Management Studies at AUT. Also, as we said, one of the researchers in the National Science Challenge, Building Better Homes, Towns and Cities. Listening in to that, as we said, is the Roe Hoskins, Chair of the National Māori Housing Organisation, Te Mata Pihi, also an Auckland-based architect who works with Māori community-based designed projects. Roe, as we said, we've spoken before. You've seen a number of these projects. How do you view what's happened here?
I don't know the specific details of what's happened at Kirikiriroa, but what I do know is that, yes, the development processes are extraordinarily complex, and I think it is getting harder and harder for smaller entities to engage in larger projects. And I think there's certainly a role for an umbrellaing situation where our larger social housing providers, community housing providers, look to partner with maybe smaller ones to get their projects across the line and apply all the levels of expertise that they have more at their fingertips. So I think there is an issue of scale, which is quite pressing. There's a wider issue of capacity, which Ella referred to, and of course with the government withdrawing from large scale social housing in the 1990s, and in particular the Department of Māori Affairs being abolished and all their Māori housing programs going along with the department. We've certainly only had a very slender line of Māori housing developments come through the pipeline in the last 28 years. And I guess what the Māori Party did do was just keep that pipeline alive through some of the work that Tariana Turia did as Associate Minister of Housing. But the pipeline was extremely thin, and so we've only had sort of tens and at best 100 houses built in Māori situations in the last 25 years. So, yeah, there is, as Ella has said, there's a bit of a lag here to sort of get on top of. I'm quietly optimistic that the restructuring that's going on around the new Ministry of Housing and Urban Development that will be partially helpful in moving towards a more coordinated set of solutions for community housing providers and Māori housing providers. But I guess the bigger picture is that this government is focusing on Kiwi Build and on volume and on really ramping up the numbers. And it's not necessarily had a strong focus so far on assisting community housing providers to carry on and upscale the work that they were doing under the last government. So I think it's a matter of emphasis, but we do have a national housing strategy being developed or beginning to be framed up, and there is a Māori housing strategy that will be embedded into that strategy. So I guess we're hoping that the rest of this year there'll be some more clarity coming to bear in terms of the playing field that operators like Te Rūnanga or Kirikiriroa can operate in once this Māori housing strategy starts to take shape.
What would it need, though? Because there's two things we've mentioned. They have the land, they have the need, they have the plan. As we said, for vast experienced commercial developers, there are these challenges of time lags, organising contractors, delays from one part of the project that delays another part of the project. There's the paperwork involved. And in these instances, as we said, also dealing with a number of government agencies beyond those giving consents. So, I mean, even logistically, and wherever there's time lags, there's money, right? Even logistically, it seems it's stacked against them.
It certainly is a very difficult to develop in the best of times, and when we are dealing with multiple agencies, it does make it more complex. I think we've had four entities involved with housing, and that's MSD, HNZC, MB and Te Puni Kōkiri. And certainly from Te Matapihi's perspective, we are looking for a much stronger, centralised, more of a one-stop shop approach to particularly to Māori housing solutions, so that you don't have to proceed around multiple housing agencies to get the necessary support and critical advice and funding to move your projects along. So that's certainly been a big issue, and something that we're particularly mindful of with our advice to the sector and to the government.
Thank you very much. It's always appreciated. I'm sure we'll talk again. Roy Hoskins, Chair of the National Māori Housing Organisation, Te Matapihi.